Look, I promised him we wait.
We're always waiting for him.
Well, I give my word.
You guys wait?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Did anyone die because you're here?
No. I got another anesthesiologist to cover for me.
All right, you ready? Hey, come on.
God. A new season.
A clean slate.
Yep. This smells like the year.
Something about new beginnings and a new season. Well, good morning. And a happy first day of 2012. I know, right? That's good. You know, I would always get excited when New Year's Day falls on a Sunday, because I really do think it's a great way for us to start the new year. So nice job getting up and being here, especially after so many of you raised your hand that you were up at the wee hours of the morning. And I spoke with some of you. Some of you were up at the wee hours picking up your children as well. So yay, parents. And I would have loved to have been with the crowd that raised their hand about going to bed early. However, we have a dog that hates fireworks, and so our New Year's tradition is we turn on all the fans in the house and turn up the music, and we wait out the fireworks so that our dog can have a nice, easygoing New Year. So we're tired along with the rest of you, so we'll be drinking lots of coffee, and aren't you glad for those that get here and make us coffee? All right, yes, be sure to, yeah, there we go, yeah. Give them an extra smile today. You know, there's something about new beginnings and the start of a new year. And I love the clip. How many of you are sports fans out there? Any kind of sports, football, soccer, baseball. All right. Those of you that are know that it doesn't matter what happened last season. It doesn't matter that we were in the losing team side of things. It's a new year. Anything's possible. It's like a clean slate, right? So the clip you saw was all about the Red Sox. You know, baseball fans out there, some of you, even though it's not our state, may be Red Sox fans. And anyone who knows baseball history knows that way back when baseball first began, the Red Sox were a happening team. I mean, by 1918, they had won 5 World Series. They were happening. But then it would be 86 years until they ever won a new World Series again. I think that's a long time to be a sports fan for a team, don't you? But I think for 86 years, that was probably one of the longest droughts in championship history for the baseball history. Don't you think 86 years is a long time? Until 2004. And that was the clip you saw. So they've got their season tickets. It's a new season, a clean slate. And sure enough, in 2004, the Red Sox went on after 86 years to win the World Series. And if you don't think that town erupted in celebration, that was a good day for them, for a good fresh start for the Red Sox. And you know, there's just something about the idea of a fresh start that's energizing and hopeful, isn't it? And that's what God has for each of us today on the first day of New Year's Day, 2012, a fresh start. Would you stand with me as we pray this morning? God, thank you for bringing us together on the first day of 2012. And I thank you that you offer a new start to all of us. And God, I just pray that you would help us to set aside our tiredness, distractions that we may have, to really focus on what you have to say to us this morning, on how to live intentionally this year, and how to look for what you want this year to be in our journey with you. God, just help those that have come. God, you know the needs in this room. And I pray that you would meet needs today, whether it be in marriages, relationships, finances. God, help us keep our eyes on you to meet those needs. God, those that have come with heavy hearts and burdens, help them lay them down and to trust you as their strength. God, let us hear from you today and what you have to say to us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, you know, this time of year, what do you usually think of? New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, New Year's resolution. Exactly. Now, how many of you love New Year's resolutions? Just helps you get started. Okay, not too many hands. Right there with you. How many of you hate New Year's resolutions? They just make you groan. All right, good. Good, honest hands up there. We all make resolutions, or at least we know someone who makes New Year's resolutions. And it's kind of interesting as we reflect on the past year and we're looking toward the new year, there's often this gap on what we should do and what we do. You know, we know that we should eat right, exercise more, save money, make good decisions, blah, blah, blah. And yet it says that, I was looking up statistics and whether this one's accurate or not, I make no claim that it's accurate, but they said that 75% of people who make New Year's resolutions quit trying after 2 months. So in March, it's over. And that the other 25% that make those resolutions are working on honesty. No, I'm kidding. For some, I'm sure it works, and yay for you guys that can pull it off. But as I was preparing, I was looking through magazines, and this one magazine on the cover said 140 ways to start your new year off healthy. And on the front, it has like these two glasses of juice, you know, those juicers. And one is clearly like a carrot squash juice. And the other one is like this dark green, and it's grass and spinach and all kinds of, oh, and broccoli. I'm like, yummy. And isn't it true? We start out with that intention, and then I kid you not, I flipped 3 pages over in the magazine, just 3. And there's this picture of how to make a puff pastry out of heavy cream, butter, sugar, and then coated with powdered sugar. I'm like, oh my word, that's so our life. Our intention, the healthy, gross, green drink. 3 days later, back to the puff pastry, you know, and it's okay. Life goes that way sometimes. But whether you love resolutions or you hate resolutions, for me, there really is something about the new start of a year that is hopeful. There really is a time for me that I try to stop, take a breath, kind of reflect on what happened last year, and look to this next year and say, God, help me live intentionally this year. Help me love you more this year than I did last year. Help me be a better wife, a better friend. And I start to think through, what do I want this next year? What does God want this next year to look like for me? Because we really do have a fresh start at the new year. And so my question for me and for you this morning is, what will you do with a fresh start this year as you reflect on last year and you look toward this upcoming year? So I'm going to give you a couple of ideas of what it might look like. So think of filling in the blank. This could be the year when, and I have some ideas and see if any resonate with you. This could be the year when I love Jesus more this year than last year. You heard Pastor Kevin say that we're all about growing our relationship with God. You know, the Apostle Paul, he was never satisfied with where he was at. He may have had an incredible year with God, and he was still saying, God, I want to know you more. Help me love you more. That was the cry of his heart. So maybe that's you this year. Or maybe it's what I just said earlier. I want to be a better wife, a better husband, dad, coworker, friend, student. Maybe it's that you want to be kinder to people this year, kinder to your boss, to your coworkers, to your family. Maybe this could be the year when you trust God more through this economy. Tough times for all of us, right? Maybe this is the year that we trust God more than last year. Maybe this could be the year where you give your disappointments to God and you trust him for his timing and his plan for you. Or maybe it's about working on mending family relationships. How many know holidays can be great and they can be a little tense? You know, maybe this year it's going to be trying to work on mending some of those family relationships. Or maybe it's just life balance. You're like, God, I'm going to trade my stress for your peace. I don't want to be as stressed out as last year. I'm going to work to build life balance. What is it for you? If you were to lock one in your mind, this could be the year when. Think about that. And we're going to write it down later in our time together. Or maybe for some of you, for this New Year's, you find yourself like the Red Sox fans. This has got to be a better year. It just has to be. Because maybe last year's just been tough. And you know, a lot of us got Christmas cards this year. And our friend sent us one, and she was amazing. She did a whole letter, which is always impressive to me that people can, you know, get the letter out. Sometimes we're just trying to get a card out, you know. But she got a letter out this year, and she was sharing about 2011. And she said it's just been a tough year. She lost her mom, her dad, her older brother, and found out her husband had cancer all in one year. And she was saying this has to be a better year in 2012. And yet as I read her letter, I was really inspired because woven in all the bad news she's gotten this year, she still had an incredible faith and trust in God. And she did something very similar to what we talked about a couple weeks ago, that and yet prayer. She said, God, this has been really difficult, and yet I still trust you. You're still my rock and still my strength. And she was taking that into her new year. And you know, in my 18 years of being in ministry, I've met a lot of people in need of new beginnings. I've heard things like, I feel like damaged goods. I feel labeled. I feel like I've got failed marriage tattooed on my forehead. I feel like I've made a choice that I regret and I can't seem to forgive myself. I've heard some people say, I've just messed up too much. And you know what? Maybe you sit here today and you think, you know, that's my story. God couldn't love me, forgive me, use me. I've just done too much bad stuff. And you know, God has a message for you this morning. He has a message of new beginnings and fresh starts. We're going to meet a guy named Simon Peter. And he was a guy that loved God, but he definitely found himself in need of a fresh start. So who was this guy, Simon Peter? He was a really successful fisherman. Some of you have seen the show Deadliest Catch. This guy, Simon Peter, was kind of like the captain of the Deadliest Catch. A little rough on the outside, but he had a really good heart. And we read in Mark 1:17 that Jesus chose Simon Peter to be a disciple. So Peter's out fishing and he comes to meet Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, Simon Peter, come follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. And we read that at once, Peter gets up, goes out, and he follows Jesus. Peter was like all in from the beginning. In fact, if you were to describe Peter, or if someone was to describe him to you, they would probably say that Peter is brash, he's outspoken, he's a man of action, not always the right action, but a man of action. And that he would ask Jesus questions. And Peter was that guy that when all the other disciples were stuck in the boat, he like has the courage to leap out of the boat and rush to Jesus. He was like your go for God with gusto kind of guy. And we find out that Peter was really close to Jesus. He had a really tight friendship with him. You know how you have some of your great friends, good friends, and then there's maybe a couple that you really feel like you can share your life with? Well, that was Peter and Jesus. The Bible talks about kind of an inner circle of Peter, James, and John. And so they were really close friends. And yet, even though Peter was all in and committed to Jesus, we find that Jesus is starting to talk about a time where Peter will turn his back on him and deny him. And that's where we're going to pick up the story in Mark today. So if you pull out your mark it up sheets, it's in there. We're going to start in Mark 14, verses 27 and 28, and they'll be on the screen too. So here's kind of the setting. It's a banquet meal, and the timeline is Jesus is just about to be arrested and go to the cross. And Jesus is talking to his disciples about what's going to happen and kind of preparing them for what's going to happen. And here's what he says. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." See, the disciples had faith, but Jesus is saying it's not going to be enough when we hit these hard times. "I'm going to strike the shepherd, me, and the sheep are going to scatter you. You're going to take off." He says, but he's reassuring them, "Once I rise again and have the resurrection, I'm going to go ahead of you into Galilee and I'll appear to you." So he's trying to prepare them a little bit. But look what Peter says in verse 29. Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." So Peter's saying, these guys, yeah, they may let you down, but not me. No way. I will never turn my back on you, Jesus. And Jesus is like, yeah, actually, Peter, you will. He says in verse 30, "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." He's like, you will turn your back on me, Peter. And he was very specific. He was saying that this rooster is going to crow twice, and at that moment, you will have denied me, not once, not twice, but three times. And Peter replies in verse 31, but Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And I think that Peter was baffled. I think he was so sure of his devotion. He couldn't imagine a time where he would fail God like that. And you know, I think sometimes we're a lot like Peter. We have good intentions. It's not like we think we're going to go out and just wreck things or make those bad choices. You know, it's like the cover of the magazine. We're going to drink the green juice. We have good intentions. And then yet, 3 days later, sometime later in our life, we find ourselves in that same boat as Peter. And we realize that sometimes it's hard to make the right choice in those critical moments. Sometimes it's hard to move past our barriers, whatever they may be, pride, selfishness, you name it, in your own life, to stand up and do the right thing. And just like Peter, in the moment that it matters, sometimes we make the wrong choice, or we find ourselves in a life circumstance where we didn't think we would be. And sure enough, here's what happened. We read that Peter does, in fact, deny Jesus, just like Jesus told him. So as the story has moved along, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the mob comes, Judas betrays him, and Jesus is arrested. And sure enough, boom, the disciples scatter. But Peter follows at a distance while Jesus is being taken to the high priest's palace. So he's following at a distance. And while Jesus is being mocked and spit on and beaten in the upper room of the high priest's palace, we find Peter below in the courtyard. And we read it was kind of a chilly night, so there's a fire going. And here's what happens next in our storyline. It's in Mark 14, 66 through 68. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You were also with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said. And he went out into the entryway. So the girl recognizes Peter. "Hey, you were hanging with Jesus, weren't you?" "No, I wasn't." And he like slips away from the fire so you can't really see his face anymore. But that doesn't work. She follows him. In verse 69, it says, when the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." But again, he denied it. So simultaneously, Jesus is being interrogated, and we find Peter just feeling cornered. And I think that not only was he not wanting or not living up to what he said he would do, he was afraid to even be associated with Jesus. And we find out that in verse 70 and 71, after a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you're a Galilean." He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Peter's like, "I don't even know the guy." And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me." And he broke down and wept. The rooster crowed, and Peter realized that he had failed at a critical time. That he had said, "I'll be loyal to the end." But when it mattered most, he caved. And I think he realized in that moment his own weakness and trying to do things on his own. And I think in that moment, we find Peter full of regret. What have I done? If only I would have. And isn't it true that you and I can find those moments of regret? I know it's true in my own life. When I look back, there are moments I wish I had a do-over. And I'm guessing that that's true for you. That you wish there are moments where you could, where you've said, "What have I done? I wish I had a do-over." You know, I have a friend. I asked if I could share her story. She lost her husband in a fire. And it was a tragic loss for her. But what was also very tragic was what she told me after that. She said that she regretted how she lived when her husband was alive, that she didn't appreciate him and took him for granted. And she nitpicked. And isn't it easy to nitpick? You know, and yet she said she would give anything for a do-over. And I've tried to learn from her life, and I don't do it perfect, but in my own marriage, I try not to nitpick. In my friendships, I try and pour into those while I'm here on earth and while we have time together. And you know, as a pastor, I've been to funerals where I've heard people say those similar things, "I wish I would have," with a loved one, and they regret. And you know, it's a heavy moment for us right now. This is kind of the heavy part of the message, because sometimes I think we think the story ends there. We think that, well, I've messed up too much, or Jesus won't love me, forgive me, use me. And the good news is God never ends on a heavy note. He always ends on a light note. We want to put a period after our mistakes and go, end of story. Jesus puts a comma and says, "Not the end. I have a whole nother chapter to write with you." And you know, the beautiful thing of Peter's story is it's a perfect picture of God's unconditional love of a guy in need of a new beginning. And that's exactly what God says to him is, "Peter, I still love you. I still have plans for you. I forgive you. I give you a fresh start." And you know, it reminds me. So we were teasing earlier, this was my Christmas gift. Instead of an iPad, I got an Etch-a-Sketch. Thank you. Love it. And, you know, the older versions, you remember, you write something down and you shake it and it goes away. Well, this is the new and improved version where you make your little art thing and then clean slate. And you know what? This is God's message for you this morning. Maybe it says, regret. That's what God gives for you. Maybe it says, hurt. Clean slate for you today. Maybe it's just this. Right? Doesn't life feel like that sometimes? It does. It does. Here's what God has for you. Today is our fresh start, church. Today, whatever you're at, wherever you're at, God has a fresh start and a new beginning for you this morning. So we pick up the more lighter part of the story, the part where it's so full of hope. What has taken place is Jesus has died, he has been risen again, and we find him now appearing to his disciples. And I am so encouraged when I read this part of the story, where Jesus twice reaches out to Peter to make sure he gets that he's forgiven, that he's loved. Catch this. The first time that he reaches out to Peter is in Mark 16, 6 and 7, and it's in your notes. So Mary's at Jesus' tomb. It's empty because he's risen. And Mary's like, what in the world? And there's an angel who has a message for her, and this is what he says. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And he singles out Peter to send him a special message. How many know that that would just encourage you a little bit when he calls you out by name? So we pick up the story in John 21, the second time that Jesus makes sure to point out something to Peter. So Jesus has appeared to the disciples. This is going to be his third appearance to the disciples in John 21. Some of the disciples have gone fishing. They're out with Simon Peter, and they're not catching a thing. It's been all night. So they're tired and they're hungry. And this voice from shore goes, hey, catch anything? They're frustrated, like, no. And the voice from shore, throw the net on the other side. Like, whatever. All right. So they throw the net on the other side, and sure enough, they catch a load of fish. Now, those of you that know the story know that this might be just a little familiar to them because it happened once before. So they start to wonder, who is the guy on the shore? And they're peering over, and sure enough, it's Jesus. Now, if I'm Peter, and that's Jesus, and I've just failed him, I'm hiding in the boat. Oh, I hope he doesn't see me. Don't look it this way. But not Peter. I love what Peter does. He recognizes it's Jesus, and he rushes to him. He runs to him. And he doesn't hesitate. He grabs his coat, he leaps in the water, and he runs toward the shore, probably swims toward the shore. And it's beautiful. We read that the disciples and Peter get to the shore, and they have breakfast. And then Jesus points out to Simon Peter. He says, hey, Simon. And he says it in front of all the disciples. Because you know the disciples probably heard what Peter did. They're like, did you hear Peter denied him? Can you believe that? Yeah. And in front of all the disciples, Jesus says, Simon Peter, I still love you. Do you love me? Peter's like, I do love you, God. He says, not only do I love you, but I still have a plan for you. Feed my sheep. And he entrusts the ministry and being a pillar of the early church into Peter. And do you know what I love is that Peter welled up, I think, when he realized that that was what Jesus was responding to him in love and forgiveness. I imagine that he stood tall, that he was able to look the disciples in the eye again, no shame, because he'd been set free and forgiven from that choice, and he was having a fresh start. And I love that if God can do that for Peter and love him despite his failure, he can do that for me, and he can do that for you. And he gives us a fresh start, just like Peter, this morning. You know, whatever you have, he's given you a clean slate. There's a song I love, and it says, I will change your name. Your name will no longer be called wounded, outcast, lonely, afraid. I will give you a new name. Your new name shall be confidence, joyfulness, faithfulness, overcoming one, friend of God, one who seeks my face. Because you know what? God saw Peter at his best, and he saw him at his worst. And he knew the potential Peter could be if he would rely on God's strength. And you know what? He's seen you at your best, and he's seen you at your worst. And he knows the potential you can be if you will move in his strength. That is his message for you this morning. You know, for some of us today, this is the new beginning. Maybe you're not right with God, but you want to be. This is your day to start a new journey with God. Maybe you've just kind of kicked the tires to see what this whole God thing's about. And you've realized, you know what? Yeah, this makes sense. Well, today can be your day where you say, all right, I'm all in. may not get how this all works, but I'm going to be all in and walk the journey. Or maybe today is your day to forgive yourself and let God forgive you. My friend who had the husband in the fire said, tell them to not let their regrets keep them from moving forward. Because she kept hers from moving her forward for a lot of years. You know, Pastor Troy says this, progress, not perfection. And I love that. And I think that's our goal as a church and as individuals, progress, not perfection, to move forward this year. And to embrace, you know, the love we talked about. His love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Amen. You know, for all of us, it's a fresh start. It's January 1, 2012. What will you do with your fresh start? How do you want to treat your family, your friends, your coworkers this year? You know how we describe Peter? If someone were describing you, how do you want them to describe you? Let that shape your goals, your decisions, your relationships this year. So this is the part where we're just going to write it something down, just to make it practical. Just think of an idea. What is tugging on your heart? What do you want to try and do intentionally this year? And I've written down a couple ideas. Like maybe it's going to be, I'm going to invest in my marriage. Maybe it's going to be a date night once a month. And you know, it doesn't have to be where you spend lots of money. It's just like Chuck and I try and X out a day that we're just going to spend time together because life can just get chaotic. And we don't have to go spend lots of money, but we're just going to be together. Even if we don't go somewhere sometimes, it's just being intentional about that time. Or maybe it's going to be, I'm going to serve my community 3 times a year. You're going to hook up with Vine Maple Place or Maple Valley Food Bank and go help them out. Maybe you want to connect with people. You know, maybe sometimes you don't feel very connected with everyone here, so you're going to join a growth group. We have it today. You can do that. Maybe you're going to read your Bible and pray 10 minutes a day. You're going to try and grow your walk with God. Now, if you do that goal and you say, okay, I'm going to do it. You've got the magazine cover and the green drinks, and then tomorrow you get busy and you're like, man, I'm already eating the puff pastry. You know, it's okay. Cut yourself slack. Remember, progress, not perfection. Maybe it's that you get 4 out of 7 and you're just moving forward, just doing one step at a time. Or maybe you get, yeah, you get it. Just don't beat yourself up. Just try and move forward step by step. And when it doesn't work out, just remember that God gives fresh starts, not just on January 1st. Maybe it's that you're going to spend more time with your kids, or maybe you're going to take deep breaths before you say stuff like to your boss or your spouse. Guarantee you it helps you say kinder words. I do it. I take deep breaths, 3 of them, and then it helps me get my brain engaged before I talk. Or maybe it's just in the midst of circumstance, you're going to keep your eyes on God and ask him to give you strength to face the day, because that's what we do. We keep our eyes on God, and so that we do not grow weary and lose heart. Start today. Identify something small that can make a huge change in your life as you live out 2012. And I hope that you'll be encouraged by Paul's fresh start. I hope that you realize that that's for you today. Whatever you need, we have a clean slate. Let's ask God to make 2012 a year that is awesome and that moves us forward as individuals and as a church body. Would you stand and pray with me? God, I thank you because I myself need fresh beginnings and new starts. God, I know that even despite my best efforts, I let you down. Help me this year to strive to know you more and love you more and to be shaped into the person you want me to be. That you'll move me forward this year in a direction that moves toward you. God, I pray for those in this room that maybe they're not right with you, but they want to be, and they want to start a journey with you. I pray they know how simple it is. They just say yes to you today. They say yes to the fresh start and to starting a journey of loving you with their life. God, I pray for those that need just that clean slate to be so very true? Would you resonate that truth in their heart? Would today be the day where they say, God set me free from that. God forgave me from that. I forgave myself. That this would be a mile mark. That they look back and remember today, 2012, God moved in my life in that way. God, help them accept it and embrace it as theirs. God, I pray for all of us as a church body that you would give us a fresh start to be passionate and all in moving toward you. God, give us a greater desire to know and love you. Encourage your people today, I pray, wherever they find themselves, let them know that you hold tight to their hand and you walk with them in this next year. Encourage them, I pray, God, in Jesus' name. God, change us, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.